The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What a fun episode of Unfiltered we have today. Matt and I talked to Platinum Mike Perry again,
yes!
Who we always enjoy. And making his first appearance on the show is the great Anthony Smith. So tune in. It's a fun one.
A lot of fun.
Shots are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again.
He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome. We are indeed your hosts.
Jimmy, did this break?
No, there's this new thing now.
What?
Matt's looking at the same thing I always look at, which is, and these stirrers for the coffee.
What?
Are about an inch long, and they basically just go into the lip part. I think they're to protect it from liquid coming out more than they are to stir your coffee.
Because it's weird.
Yeah, why won't they make that longer, though? It could be two in one.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right, well.
There's no need for a fucking stir that's an inch long.
No.
If I wanted that, I'd just put my dick in the coffee.
Ah.
Get it?
Fuck it, I was going to hit something, but I was afraid I was going to spill the coffee. I got my shoes off and my socks.
I know you do.
You're ruining
my foot fetish.
That wouldn't be a fucking big deal if I had sandals on, so why is it a big deal if I have to take my shoes and socks off, Jimmy?
It's comfortable. I always take my shoes off when I fly. I don't go barefoot on a plane, but in my socks, I have to.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it.
What about when you use the bathroom and it's all like water on the floor and stuff?
Do you know, I have to, sometimes if I remember, I'll put my shoes on.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I have to tippy toe fucking straddle so I don't step in piss or water that's come out of the sink. Yeah, it's a minefield in there.
Yeah, we're starting off strong.
Oh, people understand. Everyone likes to take their shoes off and everybody hates to step in piss. We're two for two with the topics.
You know, you don't know what everybody likes. But I'll tell you right now,
is that fucking treat that Chris is eating. I've never wanted to punch somebody's food so bad.
Well, that looks like a fucking delicious coffee cake.
I know. It's a dick.
It's a dick. Chris. Chris, the producer, what am I looking at over there?
It is. It's like a crumb cake or a coffee cake. I had
coffee cake fucking rules.
I didn't have time to get some to eat today, but I had it from the other night.
You know why it looks so good, Jimmy? Because usually with the coffee cake, like the top, like the good part, not the flowery, not the yellow part of the coffee cake, the bottom, where that's usually most of the coffee cake, and then they got the little crumbs on top. I used to get yelled at with the Entenmann's because I'd cut off the top and just eat the brown, what do you call that?
You didn't like the top?
I'd eat the top, but I'd leave all the fucking, the bottom cake that
nobody
likes.
Leave the two outside pieces of the Oreo. You would eat the cream and leave the outside piece like that. You'd leave the part nobody wants. Yeah.
That's not a great analogy.
It's a great analogy. You eat the part that you want.
What am I dissecting an Oreo? I'm taking apart. It's one thing I'll tell you what.
There's no difference whatsoever.
No.
There's a huge difference.
It's like taking the top off of a cupcake.
Or like eating the cheese off the pizza.
Sure it is.
Why don't we get to some MMA today?
Sure. I had a wonderful example.
Yeah,
I really do
want a piece of it?
No, but I'm trying to do the right thing. What I'm trying to say is it's equal, the part with the cake, the yummy part, and the part with the yellow fluff cake, which is lemony, which we don't like. It's equal. That's why it looks so good, Jimmy.
I love a good coffee. I haven't had coffee cake in a long time.
Yeah? Ooh. Maybe you should just take a walk on the wild side.
No.
Today. Why?
Because I've been eating poorly. Yeah. I'm in my living room. My bedroom and my office are empty. I got fucking guys and the floors are up.
Yeah?
I'm camping out in my living room. It's awful.
You know what? You got to treat yourself. It's your birthday when this episode comes out.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, your birthday's tomorrow?
Yeah, today.
Well, oh, wait a second. So you're trying to say that you're... Let me get. I'm gonna get it out. It's not a big deal. Listen to me. Not, nobody's in the 40s forever. You're fucking fat.
I know.
Say it. Say it, Jimmy. How old are you?
I'm finished.
You're fucking 50, old man.
50 years old.
You old cocksucker.
Boy, two, you're two for two on that one.
Jimmy, fuck. I want a new, younger, hipper fucking co-host. Bobs, that's fucking for me. That's for me, that's Jimmy. Me, yeah. Why would I? I'm turning I on know. You you're, because you're coming all old.
You're
turning
very ageist. Very ageist. You're age true. Shaming me.
Longo is 60. You know what I mean?
I know, but I'm being age shamed.
Listen,
here.
You're, you dude, are. You're 50.
I have a complaint with HR.
No, but listen to me, though.
It is
Jimmy,
depressing.
Jimmy, let's talk about this for a split. First of all, in a second, the great Anthony Smith is calling in.
Yeah.
He's fighting legend, former champ, Shogun Rua. He's on a.
No, Shogun.
Who are we talking Shogun. About? We're talking about Shogun.
Hua.
What are you, in the Marines?
Yeah.
All right, listen. But, Jimmy.
Yes.
We're going to, listen, we'll talk about Anthony Smith in a second. Sure. He's coming right off that knee from hell that he gave Rashad Evans.
Boy, that bad.
He's on a former champ ass-kicking tour. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know, right? I mean, look at him. Now he's going
for
Rashad.
Yeah, I mean, if he beats Shogun,
beat
for sure.
Shogun,
his confidence has to be really, really high coming off that last fight. Yeah. Who was his fight before Rashad? He lost to...
Thiago Santos.
Yeah. Who?
Thiago Santos.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But before that,
beat
he
Lombard.
Won... He beat
Hector Lombard.
He beat it. Is that right?
Yes. Wow. TKO.
All right. TKO. Back to Jimmy being 50.
Correct.
Jimmy. They say 50s. Then actually, I never heard anything about 50.
No.
I heard 40s. The new 20. Yeah.
50 is just depressing. It's just depressing.
Is it depressing, Jimmy?
Of course it is.
No, but 50. You know what's funny? I'm 44, and when people say 44, I go, wow. I'm fucking not even 42, 43. I'm 44. I'm headed towards 45, which you might as well round up to 50. But you, my good friend and co-host, partner in crime. I couldn't think of anything better than crime. I tried to think of something really
witty. How about partner in life?
Well, that's not true, Jimmy.
Okay, I'm just saying.
My wife would have something to say.
We're not criminals either.
We're not fucking...
Partner in friendship.
Partner
in... How about partner in joking around on the podcast? It's too long?
That's
a little long, yeah.
It's a little longer than the tooth. I don't understand what that long in the tooth means.
I guess when you get older, your teeth grow, I guess, or get longer. Long in the tooth has got something to do with aging.
Well, yeah.
Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Let's just get off the subject about you being 50. Yeah. I mean, what is the big deal? You're doing what you love for a living.
Yeah.
I mean, supposedly your apartment's great. I mean, you have
Well, once I'm back in my bedroom.
Yeah, well, all right.
Why don't you come over?
You never invite me.
I never have people over.
Just like... I know. You never
Well, anytime you want. I just don't want to invite people over for. Like, I want people to come over because I'm lonely. So it'd be nice to have some friends come over and sit on the terrace for a while, hang out. I would love that.
I know, man. Smoke a blunt in your hot tub.
You're more than welcome. I'm only
kidding.
Pot on my,
I don't do that.
I don't mind people smoking pot on my terrace. Yeah. I don't smoke it, but you can.
Well, you can sit.
Matt will come in here and do coke sometimes. I don't care. Right off a mirror. He's got a fucking. He's got a bad company mirror.
Yeah.
So untrue, Jimmy. I want to talk to you now. Do you feel different? Do you feel different? Do you feel older, wiser?
Knowing
or is it,
is
it just weird?
Knowing it feels weird. Knowing the knowledge of it, do I feel different? No, but when you hit a milestone thing, you have this. Here's the option to, which sucks about turning 50, but it beats not turning 50.
You know, Rogan's 50 too. Is Rogan 50?
Yeah, exactly. Rogan is Rogan.
I think you're right. Yeah.
He's the biggest podcast. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's the UFC fight. You know, he's married with kids.
But
he's a full life.
It happens.
He's a better person.
Than you?
Yes.
No, you guys are you're both great people.
Rogan's going to be 51, actually, in August.
Exactly.
Look at that.
How about this? I'll give up a year. Hey, Joe, let's trade lives. You can have 50.
On.
I'll take almost 51 where I know martial arts and I cook elk and everyone loves me.
And I cook elk. I listen.
His Instagram makes me hungry.
No, I can't look at that meat
it's
stuff.
It's fucking amazing.
It does look delicious.
I want it.
You know?
I literally, the guy hunts his own fucking food. I admire him.
Yeah, I have a hard time going to Target.
You're a good comedian.
Myself. I have a hard time going out and getting something, bringing home and cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jimmy, I need my wife to take care of me like a big baby.
So no, you don't feel any different. You feel, it's just knowing it, and you start to see the things that like...
What?
You think of the things that you don't have or you're not doing, but you also, on the other hand, like, hey man, I'm in a job I love. I work with my friends. Like,
so
I work with
so
you.
Much, yeah.
I work with Sam in the morning. I do stand-up. Like, it's a fun life.
It's a
life.
Great life, Jimmy.
It's a really great life.
It really is.
My entire adult life, from 21 to now, which is over 28 years, I've been doing stand-up.
And you feel, doesn't awesome. That make you feel like you stay young?
Dude, I have Black Sabbath posters all over my wall.
That's fucking great.
I have fucking pictures of my favorite people. Oh, there's two dude. Pictures of me and Ozzy. He's choking me in one. He has his arm around me. That's my wall.
I hear you, man.
The lonely part where I don't have a partner who I'm in love with, that gets to you a little bit. Like, I don't have a girlfriend. I kind of wouldn't want one at this point.
Yeah. Grass is always greener, Jimmy. There's people out there in misery. I see people.
No, I know, but I've been fucking jerking off alone in the grass for a long time. It wouldn't be nice to
yeah,
have somebody.
That's true.
My grass is green with a fucking, with a load. What am I going to say? A load mark. I'm 50. That's the best I can do. In my 28 years of stand-up, I have a load mark joke load in the mark. Grass.
Yeah, Jimmy, right. But in a way, we never have to grow up. Longo never did. Look at Longo.
And that's how you make yourself feel better. Well, I have that to look Longo. Forward to.
How could you attack Longo
teasing.
Like that?
I love Longo.
Longo's a great guy.
He is. But he does a good walking.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, Matt! Hall of Fame! What was that?
He thought that was good. Larry I wonder walking. If he listened back to his Christopher walking. But listen, age, it, the thing about it, it happens to everybody.
It's you old. Do, man.
I know it's as simple as a very...
Dude, 100%, 50. I'm relatively healthy. I feel okay with that. It's more knowing it, and it's more like, if I was in a happy relationship, I'd probably be okay. But like when you're not really, you're like, and I don't feel like a midlife crisis. Like I don't, yeah. like I'm just the opposite. My midlife crisis was I just want to kind of find a nice person, date steady. I don't want to fucking run opposite. Around and buy a sports car. I've lived like a fucking 20-year-old for 30 years.
Right.
It's childish.
What about Anthony? How old is Anthony Smith?
He's 29.
He's a young man.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's got 42 fights in 29 years. It's not bad.
But how many guys, when you look at it, they die when they're young or they die when they're 30? I think of a kid, a lot of times when I feel old, I'm like, ah, you suck. I think of this kid, Jason, who got hit by on his bike, crossing the highway, and whatever it was the
how
early-
How old was he?
15. It was my peer. I was 15.
This is a feel-good show, UFC Unfiltered. You leave with a smile.
Well.
So when did your 15-year-old friend die? When he was 15? How old were you? 15
I was 15.
Also? Oh, man.
But it puts it into perspective. Like,
oh, it does,
man. All right, as much as like, yeah, nobody wants to get old, but you do have a fucking, he never got to make a cell phone call. Right. He never saw a computer. Like he needed to know what the internet was. So it's like, you look at the things, like that's how you're like, hey man, that's the option. So what? You feel a little older. Big deal.
Right.
The option is you don't live that long.
And you could have got caught pushing him in front of that bus.
What?
No, he got hit by a car on the highway. Oh, okay. I just told him the coast was clear.
Okay.
No, I wasn't there. My friend Chris was.
Is Chris,
he was riding bike with him.
Christopher Dusa making fun of your dead friend?
He's okay. Well, you weren't exactly supportive
that's
either.
A real
you started
movement.
Singing.
No. I just tried to save everybody from killing themselves.
Nah, they won't.
Listen,
no, but you're absolutely right, though.
Well, listen, I mean, it's a win-win, Jimmy, in life. Like, we did well. If today's our last day, God, I don't want nothing more. I don't want this to come back and want me. I'm just saying. Because they'd be like, look, it's a coincidence. He said it was his last day. What I'm trying to say is we have good lives, Jimmy.
Yeah. I guess so, we do. I mean, there's always really, things really that you want to be a little different, and like milestone birthdays will point that out.
Like being 6 foot, that ship is sailed. Jimmy, I'm not getting any taller.
No, you're
not. I tried hanging from the monkey bars like fucking Bobby Brady, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Stayed out there for hours, Jimmy. And I never did. Listen to me. I'm no comedian. I just like to have fun.
I'm sorry. Me neither sometimes.
You're 50, and I don't have ageism, just like you don't have like fatism and shortism with me.
No, I don't.
The fuck you laughing
at? I just love fatism and shortism.
I don't know. Is that a word?
Yeah, it's good.
But you're 6 years younger than me.
And I lost weight, you said?
No.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I wasn't. I always close the episode with that. I was going to say that you've lived, you have a more adult life than I do. You have a much more mature life. Wife, three daughters.
Oh,
you own a home. Like, it's responsible.
Yeah.
You know.
We have a good time. And I'll tell you right now, when is he calling?
You got a minute, good.
Literally a minute?
That means Chris.
No, he's a little bit behind.
Put the movie minute on right now. Really quick. Only because it's fun.
All right.
It's fun. We got two guys we're going to talk. We got Anthony Smith, and we also have, who else is calling?
Platinum Mike.
Oh, are you kidding me? Mike Perry's calling in?
Yeah.
I knew that. I just want the audience to know. Matt's movie minute. Hi, everybody. Anthony Smith is calling in soon. Let's just get this in really quick. And this is what I do with my movie minutes here. Sometimes I'll talk about movies I already talked about. You know what came on demand now that I watched the other day?
Friday the 13th.
And I'm doing it again. I'm asking you, do you
know? A Soldier Story.
Why do I do this?
It's Star Wars?
No.
Citizen Kane.
All right, can I just tell you
that? No, I'm going to keep guessing.
No.
40-year-old virgin.
I'm not going to say that anymore. Guess what?
Lilies of the Field.
They were wasting my minute, Jimmy.
You're asking, I'm guessing.
I'm not asking.
It came on.
How about this?
The director's cut of Apocalypse Now.
Let me tell you what came on.
What genre was it? I'll know it.
No.
Comedy? Drama?
It's called Ready Player One. And I talked about this already.
I've never seen that.
And I saw it in the theater, and I seen it again. And you might think about, what did I think about it when I seen it the second time? And Jimmy.
I don't know that.
Jimmy,
one.
Ready Player One by Steven Spielberg. So much like retro references as far as with the video games and pop culture. Oh my goodness. Not to mention in the virtual reality, it's such a good story where it has a sense of danger.
I'll watch that.
Don't fuck with me, Jimmy.
I'm very serious. I didn't know it was Spielberg. I would watch that.
I'm being serious.
And so am I.
I'm waiting for you to do something.
No.
Did you see it, Christopher?
I did not see it.
Well, listen to me. I watched it again. I only seen it once in the theater, and I seen it again.
It's about video games.
And it's not just about video games, Jimmy. That you're summing up the movie by saying it's about video games.
Okay.
It has something. It's the future. I think it's the year 2045, and people escape their realities. It's kind of glum in the regular reality, so they jump into the. The Vive. No, it's not the Vive. I got
no,
the Vive.
You do have
but
the
it
Vive
is like that. It's the
like
Oasis.
That.
Oh, I love it.
Did you ever play Atari? I had Atari when I was growing up. The dumb
when's Anthony thing. Smith called? But listen to me.
You're just...
The clock
is ticking.
I'm just letting you know
that
for the people that did not see this movie in the theater, watch it. Get it on demand. Jimmy, there's no more video stores. Don't tell them to go to the video
store. There is.
No, there's no more Blockbusters.
Don't go. Yes, there is.
No,
there's one left. The two in Alaska closed. There is one. Don't tell me what state it's in.
What are you talking about?
Is it in one of the Dakota or is it in...
I thought you were talking about the Alaska one.
There is one Blockbuster left. There's two in Alaska. They are closing. Where is the one that's existing?
What are you talking about?
I'm looking at
Blockbuster Video. There's one left in the country. Isn't that crazy?
No. I mean, yeah, that was a part of
it. It's Bend, Oregon.
Dude, there is one Blockbuster. How many were there? Can we look that up? I know Matt's doing a movie. I'm just curious.
Well, I'm just telling people, I'm telling you, your kids will love this movie. You will enjoy this movie. I enjoyed the heck out of that movie, you know? And then I just want to say this. Watch the movie and tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
Okay. Ready Player One. It's on demand.
What year is it, the movie?
It came out, maybe last year.
Oh, it's new. All right.
Yeah, it's a new movie. It just came out on demand, is what I'm telling you.
I'll absolutely watch it.
All right.
I've heard of it.
I just wanted to kill a minute because we have Anthony Smith calling in saying that he's going to fight Shogun Rua. And that's happening July 22nd. Where is that?
Yeah, that's this.
Wait, that's this weekend.
Yes. Yeah, it's Sunday. It's from Hamburg, Germany.
Jimmy, I try to segue into plugging the shit. And I don't know what the fuck.
That's okay.
Jimmy, that's your thing. I just shoot from the hip.
I'm okay.
Bang, bang!
I segue okay.
Segue better than me. Do it now. It's an easy job.
Segue from what, though?
I don't know what the fuck we're talking about, Jimmy.
Ready Player One? You know what
I'm ready for? We're done with my movie minute. What are you ready, buddy, for?
Well, Ready Player One sounds good, but I'll tell you what I'm ready for. UFC this weekend, Saturday afternoon, Hamburg, Germany.
Sunday afternoon.
It's Saturday. It's because it's Germany. It's 6 hours ahead.
You know what? Took my movie minute. You took my Ready Player One, and you used it to get a way better segue than I ever could have did.
I'm doing this a lot.
I resent you for it.
Don't resent.
I'm not happy for you.
Why? This guy's better at segues. I'm not even a good radio guy. I'm really not. Who is?
Not me.
Sam Roberts is a pretty good radio guy. My co-host is a good radio. He knows how to get...
I don't know. Sam.
No, he's not a good person.
He's not a good person?
Yeah, no.
Blockbuster out of sight had 9,000 stores.
All right, so 8,999 closed. Wow. One is remaining. That's crazy.
Well, listen... Times change, my man. Times change.
Do you remember going to Blockbuster?
Yeah, going on a date, going, hey, you want to go rent the movie? Now it's like, yo, you want
Netflix
and chill?
No, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, do you remember going to Blockbuster alone and then crying because a girl wouldn't go out with you?
Oh, no, yes. I don't.
The new movies, they'd have like a whole bunch of the new ones and you'd go and get them. That was so great.
It's funny hearing, so when we're talking about getting older, you know, that's something that people will never experience going to a video store. And I heard Quentin Tarantino in an interview talking about how that's such a shame. And he's like, you know, he's talking because he's such a movie.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is his favorite film ever. Yeah.
He's like, And he's all like, when he talks, because you know, he's got a weird, I'm not there to do an impression of him.
Yeah.
But he's talking about like how you go there and then like the video, the guy, the clerk or whoever it is behind the thing will give you a tip about this movie he heard and this and that. And I don't know. He's making like a real, real intimate type like experience. Sure. But at the same time, dude, fuck, man. I'm all hyped about Ready Play One because I think popped on demand last night. I don't got to get in the car and go to fucking Blockbuster or go to the local thing and talk to some creep behind the counter.
There was just something about going, though. Like when you're going with a buddy or whatever, you're going to rent a movie. There was something about going and they have it. It was the worst when they didn't have it.
Yeah.
But when they would have that new movie, especially towards, like, you know, after Blockbuster had been around, they started having like a giant selection of the brand new movie because they would never have it. So they would have like 60 of the new one. Guarantee we have it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy that.
But now, you know what? The on-demand always has it.
What year was Blockbuster started?
It's too easy. But
oh, yeah, of course.
It makes it so easy that it's like that
and this is cheaper.
Better.
It's cheaper. There's no shipping. There's no... You deliver it directly to people's home much faster. This is much better.
It's weird with the technology, Jimmy. Sometimes it's like, yo, it's too much with the iPad. The kids are watching something on the iPad. And I'm like, yo... People were saying the same shit with the fucking TVs back in the day. Oh, it'll rot your brain.
Yeah, but look what
Shut the TV off and read a book. But they're watching a TV, but on a pad. It's not like it's a difference.
But look what it morphed into. So you have to see these things get exponentially change faster. So what's going to be in 30 years from now? Like the way the kids are on an iPad, 35 years from now, what's it going to be?
They're going to be in the fucking Oasis, yeah. Like I told you about. Well, you brought up Atari before, and I brought up...
In television.
Vive. I brought up the Vive.
Yeah.
The Vive, and then we brought up Ready Player One. Listen, this all has something to do with each other. My thing is, did you say we laughed?
Yeah, we did.
We always laugh. We have a good time here.
Yes, we do.
On UFC Unfiltered. But when I put this Vive on, I'm playing in this world, right? I'm like, yo, this is the Atari version of where the fuck this thing's going. And where is it going? It's going to the fucking Oasis. Ready Player One. That's where it's headed. That is the future.
Yeah.
You're not listening to me. It is the future, Jimmy. We're going to be hanging out in there.
Like
you hear my belly?
I do.
Did you hear it through your headphones?
Yes.
Are you serious? I'm fucking around.
Blockbuster started in 1985, October 1985.
Do we give
in
a
Dallas,
fuck
Texas.
About
yes,
this?
I did. Oh, I did. Yeah. I asked. Chris is following up with the information like a good producer.
I'm sorry, Chris, the producer.
That's all right.
Because usually he's trying to get back on. He's bringing a Blockbuster.
No, I was curious. 85, okay. So 33 years. And Wayne Huizenga owned it. He was part owner of the Miami Dolphins, or the owner.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how 85, yeah, fuck me, man.
No, but listen to me.
So long. I'm sorry, Chris.
this is what I want to say right now. I got here early today.
9,000.
A little bit early. I got a little bit early here today, only a couple minutes early, because somebody in this room on that side of the table, Jimmy, not us,
yes,
Jimmy.
Not
it's,
us.
It's anybody else in this room. It's not that rat on the wall behind us. You know, listen, you got to be here by noon. You got to listen. This guy's calling. And all right. I didn't work out this morning, Jimmy.
Doesn't show.
Fuck, man. Look at these calves. Dude, I have a I look at this. Look at this ball. See this?
It's on Matt's chin.
No, look at
it. Right next to the other one.
You see this? Look at this thing. See that thing? It's a cyst. I'm behind my calf above. You see it?
Wow.
I'm so fat. No, I don't get a regular cyst. It's called a Baker's cyst.
How do you get rid of it?
I don't know. They say if it pops though, or something, it could be very stressful on your knee or painful.
Can you go get it taken care of? I have a small cyst on my back, which I've had for years, and once in a while it will bother me when I'm doing a sit up.
Oh, a Baker's cyst.
Is that what that is?
That made me feel like more of a fat guy though. Why can't I get a regular cyst?
That's a 13th cyst. A right. Baker's cyst.
Very good.
Boo.
Fuck it. I want to hit that thing so bad.
Here we go.
Up. Cool. That's what we're waiting for. Excited.
Hi, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
How are you?
Good. You're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton here on UFC Unfiltered.
What's up, Anthony?
Matt fucking Serra.
Oh, I like the way this is starting.
Hall of Famer.
Oh, look at this. I like the way this interview is starting right off the bat. Anthony, what's up, man? Dude, you are going on a Legends former champions ass-kicking tour. Is that true?
You know, that wasn't the plan, but that's kind of how it's working out.
How did this fall on your lap now? Because you're replacing somebody. This is correct, right? This is what Chris the producer just told me.
Right.
Uzdemir, right?
Uzdemir.
I was driving to go buy a new four-wheeler, and my manager called, and he said, hey, you're going to fight Shogun in Germany on July 22nd. And I said, all right, let's go. And then I hung up. That was it.
Were you training for anyone? Were you training for anyone or no?
Well, you know, I got out of the Rashad Evans fight pretty quickly, and I wasn't injured, so I was able to stay active and get right back at it. And I was home in Nebraska, which I still have my team and my training partners there. So I was in shape, and I was preparing to. I wanted to fight in that UFC event in Lincoln, so I was trying to find an opponent for that. So I mean, I was staying ready.
Anthony, with that Rashad fight, when he had you up against the cage and you made that frame, and now you feel like everybody's seen that knee coming. Like, you, are you surprised he didn't try to disengage at that point? Or were you just, I know you were just concentrating on kneeing him in the face, but what was your thoughts right there? Were you surprised that he was still trying to hold on to you when you made that nice frame looking to knee him?
No, he was trying to pull out. I just had the overhook so tight, and I had my own. If you look at the fight, I had that left overhook.
Put that on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had my fist real tight to my own chest. So he tried to pull it out a couple times. You could kind of feel the panic.
That's interesting.
He did. He tried to pull out he tried to pummel that underhook to almost get his own wrist to my chest so he could push away. But I just kept it so tight he couldn't pummel in. So then, you know, he was trying to lift his head, and I was able to just kind of snake his neck with that frame. And he was noticing that I was switching my feet. If you look, I can, like, my right foot, I get it behind a couple times, and he makes sure that I slide down the cage so I have to catch myself. And I was able to get my hips out away from the cage just enough to pull the knee. But he definitely knew it was coming. There just wasn't anything he could do about it.
You know, it's because you had rocked him, I believe, before then. You really hurt him, and I was wondering if he was keeping you against the cage just to try to collect his wits.
You know, I wasn't sure if I hurt him or not. I knew that I had banged his leg up pretty good with the two leg kicks, like the two calf kicks when we were at distance. And as soon as I kicked him the second time, he had this look on his face, kind of like, you know, fuck this, you know, I'm gonna close the distance.
You know,
and he pushed me up against the cage.
I was concentrating on your frame and your left underhook, your left overhook, I should say. Put that on one more time, Chris, the producer. That, I wasn't really concentrating on that, but that's huge. So that's more of a, so you're keeping him there with that. Yeah. Oh, that left.
That's tight.
Look at his left underhook. We're watching it right now. That's, there you go. But you still would think he'd try to bring his head to the other side. But hey, man, listen, hindsight's 20/20. And man, right. that must have felt amazing for you.
It did. It felt really good, man. I'd grown up in this sport watching Rashad fight and watching him win the Ultimate Fighter. And one of my favorite fighters is Rampage, you know, so I definitely was really aware of Rashad, obviously, with their whole beef. And you know, that's kind of when I started watching him really closely. And, you know, just to be able to even be in there with someone, you know, like Rashad, who's definitely going to be a future Hall of Famer and a former champion and someone that carried so much so long on his shoulders as far as the UFC goes. You know, I was really grateful to even be in there with him, and then to be able to get out of there with the W and do it in a respectful way as far as not having to deal with all the bullshit beef and all that stuff. And I was really, really happy. And I, honestly, that's something that I'll carry with me the rest of my life.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say, so if you grew up watching Rashad, then you must have been watching Shogun Rua. I mean, talk about legends.
Absolutely.
So does that now, when fighting a guy like a legend like Shogun, does that make you, does that hype you up to fight a guy with that reputation and history? Or, I mean, there's no intimidation there. That's like, listen, man, this guy's been, like, to fight one of your heroes, there's no hesitation with that, if he's one of your heroes.
No, you know, I was a much bigger Rashad fan than I was Shogun. I think that I was more, I liked Shogun's style more than I liked Rashad's, but as far as the pinnacles that Rashad was able to reach, you know, that was something more that I idolized than Shogun. But, you know, obviously, if you watch the Rashad fight, I don't have any problems setting that shit to the side and
exactly.
Then just doing what I got to do. You know, I mean, I respect both of them. I look up to both of them for what they were able to do in the sport, but I don't have any problems beating your ass.
Well, you have to be a kind of as hard as possible because you're doing them a disservice if you don't. I mean, like when Larry Holmes fought Ali, Ali was way past fighting prime. Rashad was not. Rashad was still fighting well. He had lost a couple of fights, and you guys both moved up. But you have to go in there and try to win as fast as you can. Otherwise, it's almost disrespectful to your opponent.
It is. It is. And do you guys remember when Pat Barry fought Krokop? And it was that weird, like, build up to it, and they were hugging a bunch and like high five, and like I didn't want it to be like that.
Oh yeah.
And I think you're exactly right, Jim. Like Rashad deserves more than that. He doesn't need to be in there with someone who just is super giddy to even be in the same room as him. You know, he deserves someone that's going to bring it to him just as much as he wants to. And that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I'm going to do with Shogun.
Now, no, you cannot look past Shogun. I'm sure you're smart enough to know that. If you are to beat Shogun, now yeah, I'm sure you've seen yourself beating him. That will probably vault you into the top 15. And again, not looking past him, do you know who? There's a couple of guys I'd love to see you fight just for style reasons. I think they'd be entertaining. My new favorite person in the UFC, Sam Alvey, who really is a psychopath because he's always smiling and he's such a nice guy, but he likes fighting his friends. He hates early stoppages. I think you guys would be a really great matchup.
I think so, too. You know, after I beat Rashad, that's the person that I called out.
Oh, you did?
Was Sam Alvey, because I like the matchup so much. I think that it'd be a really fun fight as far as just our styles, you know. I do agree with Sam as far as, like, I don't mind fighting people that I like. You know, there's no pressure before. There's none of the bullshit that, you know, talking trash. It's not awkward when you're around each other. You know, you just go in and do your job, and I think me and Sam are really good at that. But I also think that with a win over Shogun, you know, DC's been saying that he thinks that Shogun is the next guy. If I beat DC, or if I beat Shogun, you know, that puts me in a pretty cool spot. You know, I personally don't think that DC's going to come back down to 205, and I don't think that he has to. I think that he's earned the right to stay up there and be fat and happy and do his thing. But, you know, I think that opens up a kind of a little five-way dance kind of at the top of the division to figure out who's going to fight for that title if he, you know, does give it up.
Well, I'll tell you, sorry, I tell you one thing, Anthony. He may come back down because if he fights Brock and if he is to win, depends on what Kane does in the meantime. I don't think he gets an immediate shot. But if Kane is the next obvious choice, I mean, Derek Lewis did not do anything in that last fight, and obviously Ngannou just had a shot. So it's either a rematch with Stipe, which, you know, he may or may not do, because Stipe said he wants a rematch. He won't fight anybody else. Something tells me that Stipe and Kane are going to have to fight first. But if it comes down to fighting Kane or going down to the light heavyweight, he may vacate that title because he loves Kane and won't fight him. So he may come back down to light heavyweight for that reason. Is there anybody you would not fight? Like, he has said definitively he will absolutely not fight Cain Velasquez. Was there anybody for you that you would never fight?
No, I don't. There's no one. No, I can't. I can't think of anybody. I mean, I got my boxing coach sitting across the room from me right now, and I'll starch him if I got to for a world title.
That's great. And what did you do in Nebraska coming up? That's where you grew up. It was Nebraska.
Yeah.
And what did you do when you were coming up? Did you want to fight when you were younger?
No. I was actually a wrestler, and the college wrestling thing didn't really work out for me so much, and I walked into a Subway, like, after I was done with school, and I think I was still 17, and I seen a flyer on the counter for, like, an amateur fight night, and I just remember thinking, like, I want to fight someone and not get in trouble for it. So I'd never trained a day in my life. Me and a couple of my buddies drove up to Omaha. I lived in, like, a small town about an hour south of Omaha. And we drove up there, and the plan was just to watch it and kind of check it out and see what it was all about. And the announcer kind of came over the intercom and said, we need someone who weighs between 160 and 180 pounds. And I was like, fuck it, I'll do it. So I just, you know, I like borrowed a pair of like gym shorts and went in there and fought. And here we are today, you know, 12 years ago.
That's so crazy. And you know who else has a story like that? He just fought with no training. Smiling Sam Alvey. He just started fighting because he had the same kind of interesting beginning, which, again, the balls you guys have just to step in without any formal training at all. And then you started training after that first fight?
No, I actually fought a couple times before I ever started training. And there's this old man. He had a little add-on to the back of his house where he was like training guys, you know. It was just like something he loved to do. So after like my third fight, he said, why don't you come up here and come train with me? And that was the first time I'd ever done jiu-jitsu, and I fell in love with the jiu-jitsu part of it. And, you know, I think after that, I think I won like 14 straight fights by armbar you know, and then it kind of accidentally turned into a career. It was really just a hobby. It was something to keep me out of trouble and something to focus on after wrestling was done. But I don't know, man. It was a total accident. Matt, you'll get a kick out of this. I was so bad at jiu-jitsu when I started that I didn't even know how to tap. So my first two fights, I got caught in submissions, and one of them I got my arm dislocated, and I got choked completely unconscious because I didn't know what happened after you got caught in a submission.
they didn't tell you the rules as far as saying uncle or anything with the you get caught in a submission?
No. There wasn't MMA wasn't even sanctioned in the sport in the state of Nebraska when I started. It was like just some wild, wild west shit. Like, the cage was on the floor. It wasn't even like a real, it was like regular fence and shit, and it was just sitting on top of a wrestling mat on the floor.
How do you enjoy being a former wrestler too? How do you enjoy jiu-jitsu, and do you enjoy it? How was it when you first started going to your back and working your guard? Was that a hard transition for you?
No, no, it wasn't. You know, I don't know why I didn't have any problem with it at all. You know, I've been with the same jiu-jitsu coach for my entire career, essentially.
Who is that? I'm giving him some props.
His name is Scott Morton. He's a black belt under Rodrigo Vahi.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, you know, I've been with him the whole time, and I just love it, man. I it's my favorite part of the whole sport. You know, I know everyone likes to label me this knockout artist, but honest to God, man, I would much rather do jiu-jitsu. Like, I would rather submit you than knock you out. It's just easier to knock people out.
Well, brown belt, I believe, right?
Brown belt, Anthony?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
and funny. I've actually been a brown belt for like 4 years. Oh, been a brown belt for a long time. Five years.
That's good, man. It means he's not handing out.
And I do compete. You know, I've competed in Chael Sonnen Submission Underground. I just won the Chicago Open and the Absolute Division just a couple months ago. You know, I do compete pretty regularly.
Well, I'll tell you, that might come into handy in this fight with Shogun. I mean, Rashad Evans, styles make fights. And Rashad, you could look at that fight and say, all right, if I keep this standing, I'm talking about you. If you keep that standing, it should be work out to your favor. And sure enough, you show that. Shogun is arguably a more well-rounded fighter in a sense that on his back, half guard, full guard, on top, his jiu-jitsu is dangerous, his submissions, his striking is world-class. Style-wise, I mean, do you look at yourself like a younger version of him, or do you see holes in his game or where you can capitalize?
I think that's a good analysis. I think that I'm just a younger version of Shogun, and I think that I'm just a little bit more diverse. I just haven't been able to show it that much, and I think, like you said, styles make fights. I've just been stylistically in there with guys that it just hasn't worked out that good. You know, Hector Lombard is an impossible guy to take down. So even if I wanted to grapple with Hector, he's going to be. I mean, how many people have taken Hector down? You know, I bet there's not that many. So. You know, Andrew Sanchez, another wrestler that I had to keep it on my feet because he's, you know, kind of a grinder, and just guys like that. I just haven't had an opportunity, but I'm really looking forward to being in a fight with Shogun. Like, if you watch when Shogun fought Little Nog, that's like one of the best fights you could ever watch or show to someone if you wanted someone to get into MMA, because there's just everything. I mean, they're dropping each other, they're sweeping each other, they're attacking submissions. The striking was really clean. It was just a great fight. So, like, I hope that that's the kind of fight that I can get into with Shogun so I can really show people what I'm capable of. Because, like, my wrestling and my jiu-jitsu are really, really underrated. And it's just, I just haven't had the opportunity or at least the right situation to really showcase it.
I think I'm going to watch that fight tonight. I think you got me psyched to watch that fight now. And even more psyched to watch this fight.
That's a good fight.
And in the States, it's Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. because of the time difference, which is great.
That is great.
Perfect time.
It is.
And also, by the way, the co-main is a light heavyweight, Glover Teixeira against Corey Anderson.
Ooh.
So, you know, both top 15 guys. So, again, if you beat Shogun, and that could vault you into fighting one of those guys as well. I mean, there's some really interesting possibilities if you win this fight. Jimmy Manoa or OSP, I also think would be great fights with you.
Yeah, you know, I really like the OSP matchup. I think I've talked about that a couple times, and again, it's nothing against OSP. You know, I've cut weight with him a couple times. We came up in Strikeforce together. I just like the matchup. You know, I think that that's a. I just like good fights. You know, I don't look at matchups and think, oh, I'd smoke that guy. I want to fight him. I look at matchups and just think, damn, that'd be a really good fight. Like, just stylistically, I think that we're both similar. Physically, we're really close.
Sure.
And you know, I just think that'd be a good fight. And I like the Jimmy Manoa fight, too.
Yeah, well, look, man, they're telling us we have to wrap up with you for some reason. But you're really great, and you're fun to watch. And the main event this Sunday afternoon here in the U.S., if you happen to be over in Germany or wherever you are, I'm going to guess it's Sunday night. But here it's Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m., is yourself against Shogun Hua. Anthony Smith, Shogun Hua is the main event. Corey Anderson, Glover Teixeira is the co-main. There's a lot of really, really good fights on this card. So good luck, man. Enjoy Germany, and I hope you do well.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony, man.
Hey, Matt, I want to make it out sometime when Kamozi comes back. I want to come out and do some jiu-jitsu with you guys.
Oh, you're cool with you train with Kamozi? That's your boy?
Yeah, I do my camps in Denver.
Oh, 100%. Excuse me. 100%, Anthony. I love Kamozi. He's such a great guy. Anytime you want to come down, myself and Longo, our schools are open to you. Anytime, bro.
Awesome, man. Maybe you can get me a ticket to go to one of Jim's shows, too.
Yes. I'll put your name on. Or actually, just walk in and flex. They won't even ask you. Just let you walk through the door. Everyone's a pussy at my show.
Thanks, awesome. Anthony.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Best of luck, bro.
Bye.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, I would love to see him. It's funny. When I watched him, I was thinking how much... Because I love Owen Senpru. Since he's been on the show, he's just very... Everyone overlooks him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean fighters, but I mean in the public, everyone forgets how good he is. He fought John Jones for five rounds. Him against OSP. Manawa is a little up there.
I like... What a nice guy, this Anthony.
Yeah, he's really nice, dude.
What a nice
and a
kid.
Killer. A
Definitely
fucking killer.
A killer. It's weird when a guy's got a fight coming up and... This is what I hate. No, he's fine. But sometimes, and I just caught myself. Sometimes you say good luck, and like this term, depending on who you say it to, like you don't mean nothing by it. You're just trying to say all the best.
It's literally know? Just
but the
say,
best
have a
you,
great fight.
The best is when you say that to somebody in a fighter, and they go, "Well, luck has nothing to do with it." It's like, all right, oh fuck, oh god, now I hope you fucking just run into. I hope you lose.
Yeah, because they know it's a colloquialism. You're not saying it like, "Look, you will need luck to
I
win
know,
this
but dude,
fight."
But I cannot stand when you say good luck. And they go, hey, lie. Well, luck? Huh. I don't believe in luck. It's hard work. Luck doesn't get you up at 5 a.m. Luck doesn't get you. I hope you get knocked out, motherfucker. Bad luck on you. Bad luck. Hiss. I don't know why I'm hissing.
Because you're right.
I'm mad.
You should be.
For no reason.
That's a perfectly good reason.
Because it's been done before.
I don't like it either.
By fucking assholes.
Good luck is a colloquialism. It's one of those things. It's like if you see a bunch of people and you go, all right, hey guys, and they're like, oh, there's a woman here. I know. I'm not calling you a guy. It's the way we talk.
Excuse me. What about the girl says, am I a guy? Oh, yeah.
If you're dating Jim Norton, you are.
Fucking Jimmy, stop it, Jimmy.
I have to tinkle
too.
All right, do that, and then we're going to call Mike Perry.
All right, I can't wait to talk to Platinum Mike.
Nah, he's the best.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
That was wonderful, my tinkle. Now, one of my favorite people.
Me?
No, I said one of, not my absolute favorite. Platinum Mike Perry will be calling in very shortly. We're actually calling him after a very, very tough fight against Paul Felder. And you knew that would be a great matchup and a great fight. I did have Mike pick to win. I just think Paul going up in weight, again, and dealing with a guy like Mike Perry's fists is a very difficult order for anybody. Mike, hi, is this you?
Yep.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, Mike Perry, hold on.
What's up?
He needs a fucking applause for this guy. What's up, man?
Thank you, guys.
Dude, I'm psyched that you're calling in. I'm so happy for your last fight, man. What a fucking fun fight that was.
Yeah.
It was a very tough Paul Felder.
Fucking tough as they come, man.
So are you, though, man. You can really take a shot, too. Was he what you expected? Because I know that that fight was not the original fight that was scheduled. What, did Paul do exactly what you expected him to do?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and he even came to fight a little more than I thought, you know?
We were talking about the possible. I saw you backstage. You and I have never met. I mean, I've talked to you a few times. You were walking away, so I didn't. I was right after the fight, and you looked like you were pretty banged up. But that was quite a war between you guys.
Yeah, man, it was a fun one. Shit. What can I say? Just on to the next one, man. It was a good experience, and it's gonna take me further.
And people have been talking about you and Sage possibly fighting, and there's that funny Photoshop of the tweets between you guys. But his game has changed a lot since he's been over at Alpha Male. Have you noticed the way he seems to be a lot more comfortable on the ground, and he's a little harder to figure out?
He's a strong guy, and he's growing every day for sure. Definitely any opponent I believe is standing across from me on fight night is prepared and ready for war. Paul Felder may have taken short notice, but the way that things played out, the sizes of us, you know, we were both prepared to win a fight that night, and I walked away the winner. So, you know, if I stand across from Sage Northcutt, that kid's athletic as hell. I'm going to be in for a little storm, but I'm good in a storm. Like, I like that shit, so... I think I could bring him into a savage little scrap, and you know, it wouldn't go his way.
You know, I think you and Stephen Thompson would be an amazing fight because you guys kind of play into each other's strengths. Like, you're like a pit bull, and he likes to kind of counter punch. I think that would be an incredible fight.
Yeah, well, I'm down for that too. I'll go in there. I'm gonna drag him to the floor. He's too good at point fighting. He don't throw no leg kicks though. He's throwing body kicks, side kicks, head kicks. I'll eat his head kicks. I'm different. I'll walk in and I'm going to drag him to the floor. And he's strong. I mean, he got up with T. Woodley. You know, Paul Felder was a zombie off pure adrenaline.
Yep.
He just kept getting up.
Yeah.
He kept getting up. I was trying to lock him down. I went behind the back. I grabbed the little Khabib wrist lock. And I didn't have my weight down on him just right. I was trying to lock up his leg. I just get some good ground and pound in. I got like two shots barely while he was scooting back to the cage. That motherfucker didn't stop moving.
I love that you're adding in the takedowns. Now, since working with Jackson Wink, they're known for their strategy and their game plan. Planning, and you love to be in the fire, in the storm. You like the battle. You're a warrior. Is it hard for them to pull the reins in on you and say, all right, listen, I want you to look for the takedown here. I want you to smoosh him up against the cage, put his ass down, and try to make you a little more strategic, because it's showing and it's awesome. I love when you, hey, really quick, not to get off the track, but when you were going for that takedown and it looked like you were doing just a traditional double or something, and then you put his fucking feet to the ceiling, dude. Talk about strong. Yeah. That was awesome. Well, but then you go back to controlling. It's not like you just went into a berserker rage. So is that a big part of working with Jackson Wink? Are they getting you more strategic?
Well, that was me in my old camp, to be honest with you. The takedowns were... That was Fusion XL and Julian Williams grappling and jiu-jitsu. I've always had all these skills, but I was hitting so much mitt, and we were working on the things that I want to be better at, like closing that gap from a kickboxing distance and getting those strikes in. When I get my head inside someone's chest and underneath their chin, and I work those angles, and I slip in side to side, coming around with hooks and the uppercuts. I got to work on that damn uppercut too. but I don't know. To be honest with you, they didn't ask any of that from me. They just made me think about things that might be good ideas, and they were like, you know, if you're in a little scrap with Paul Felder and you grab a takedown, it might be a good thing. You know what I'm saying? They weren't like, you know,
go out there and get the takedown. That was my choice at that time. I just was in the position, and I lifted him, and I do that takedown to everybody, that high crotch single, squeeze the leg and stand up with him. I do that to everybody in the gym. It's been a while. I got to work on the finish to make them land on their head.
That was awesome.
Hey, you talked about John, too. John Jones being a factor in your decision. How did that happen?
Oh, man. Because he's the best.
Okay.
He's the best. So I was like, well, I want to go train where that guy trained. You know, I want to see why he's so good. But that doesn't – I don't know if it was Jackie Wink why John Jones is so good. You know what I'm saying? He was just born to be the great fighter that he is.
Now, you look like – you look like a guy that likes to party, Mike Perry. Now, when you got a camp coming up, I seen from your Instagram post that you're like, oh, I get to eat now. Oh, food's so fucking delicious after you sacrifice. How are you in camp? Are you on lockdown? Do you still go out and party for like within 8 weeks or 6 weeks? Or are you just, man, I'm in lockdown mode. I'm training. Because I seen you fight and you seem very extremely disciplined and you're always in good shape. So are you going out when you're in camp? And tell me about your training camps. What's it like?
Well, it depends, you know, on what going out, what you're talking about.
I mean, going out, are you partying when you go out? Or are you not going out at all?
I do 30 days no alcohol.
Okay.
I stop drinking at 30 days, and I don't break that rule. I don't have a sip of nothing.
Right.
And, but like, the week of the fight in Vegas, I went out driving race cars, shooting big guns, and was at the pool. I was the only fighter on the card, UFC 226, at the UFC pool party at the Hard Rock Casino, man. And it was a great time. I was just drinking water and dancing in the sun. I was cutting weight.
When was that compared to the fight? How long ago? How long before the fight?
That was Wednesday before the fight. So the fight was Saturday, weigh-ins Friday. It was Wednesday. I was just hanging out at the pool.
Yeah, man, that can keep you relaxed. That can keep you in a good state of mind.
Hell yeah, man.
And did you know that Paul broke his arm in the first round of that fight?
I guess, yeah, he did. Hit me with a spinning back fist, huh? What a tough guy.
Could you tell during the fight at all that something was off or no?
No, I never knew. I don't think my corner told me nothing. I never knew. He kept that thing locked by his chin and was using his left real well, timing me coming in with good little check hooks and elbows even. And I slammed him on that arm. That's probably, I mean, he probably cracked it when he hit me. And then when I slammed him on it, he probably like moved the bone.
Fucking nasty.
Well, that's incredible that, like, because a lot of times when you're watching a fight, I think Paige Van Zandt had broken something, was the last one I saw. You can kind of tell by the way they're holding their arm or they're not throwing it. And with Felder, maybe by the third round it was mentioned, but it was incredible that the guy he's fighting didn't even notice a change in his style. Like, that's how tough Paul Felder is, that you're fighting him and you didn't notice that he was laying off the right.
Good poker face.
He was still throwing it a couple of times, you know what I mean, to make me... I mean, damn, it really was unbelievable. Like, I had no idea. And I watched the fight, and in the first round, when he went back to his corner, he whispers something to his coach. And Rufus kept talking, and then he must have said it again. And he goes, oh, I heard you. You just got to keep going. And he got his head back into it. It's crazy.
And what do you think now? There's a fight coming up. I'm not exactly sure when or if it's been scheduled. Has Colby, Tyron has not been scheduled, but that's obviously the next fight. And how do you see a fight like that going?
Man, fighting is such a ridiculous sport. We know what people want to see. We want to see people like strong looking Tyron Woodley just mollywop this man and drag him all across the octagon. but Kobe's a good wrestler. He knows how to lean up against people for his own protection, and it wears people down. Tyron's supposed to be the best wrestler in the division, but he's gotten more into an MMA winning thing. He there's a way to win in the MMA fight, and depending on what style you're fighting against, there's a strategy, and I'm sure his team and him will come up with a good one. They know what Kobe wants to do. He wants to lay and pray. Tyron can do anything anywhere. He can, maybe he'll kick him in the face. Maybe Tyron will get a head kick knockout. You know what I mean? So, I hope it's not too boring. I hope Kobe's not able to lay on him and keep him at bay where he can't really get nothing off. I want him to rip elbows in his face.
The one thing I notice about Kobe is that he does take some shots. To his credit, he's been able to take the shots, but that is from Damian Maya and RDA, who is a really good striker. But let's say he is, you know, basically
Tyron hits harder.
Well, and well, he's. But what I'm trying to say is that RDA was a lightweight.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, obviously, Tyron, you know, hits fucking, you know, he's extremely powerful. And if he takes these same shots or one of these shots, that could really be a big factor in this. And plus, I think Kobe's got some pillow fucking hands, no? I don't know.
Yeah, he does got some pillow hands, but they set up his shot.
It is true. It is true. I just like to take a shot at that guy. I think he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, Matt and Kobe do not get along.
I like Mike Perry, though. I like most guys. Hey, you know? Whatever.
That's what's up, Matt.
Whatever.
Hey, I headbutt the shit out of Kobe a couple of times.
What's that?
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I would headbutt Kobe.
Oh, man. Well, I'll be rooting for you, man.
He made some remarks about your, I guess, your ex-girlfriend at the time after the fight. Was that all part of it for you, or do you think that went above and beyond what should be done?
No, I don't care. I mean, I'd like to see him in the grocery store or something, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You would, right?
I'd like to see him in real life scared the shit out of him.
Yeah, and I believe he would be scared, a guy like that, because he does go, I think, when he talks about, like, whoever he's talking about, and then he's like, oh, this one's doing this behind his wife's back, or this one's... It's just like, the guy's like a low-class, like, dirtbag. But that's just me talking. But anyway, back to Mike Perry being a fucking savage.
Well, I have a question for Mike, too. You tweeted to Joe Rogan last week, it said, if someone threatens you, Joe Rogan, does that give you the right to attack them in self-defense? What are the requirements for that when you're talking about freedom of speech? Now, were you challenging Joe on something, or did something happen in your life, or was there something specific you were curious about?
I'm glad you asked this question, man. Really, it was about Brandon Schaub, because he's been talking shit for, well, I mean, that's his job now. He talks shit, so. But he said something negative about me a while back, and once you do that, I don't forget about it. So.
What did he say? Was it about your fighting or about you as a person?
Yeah, it was about my fighting, I think, and probably some things negative he said about me as a person. But
okay.
He was like, he was saying shit like, oh, fucking. I mean, it's his opinion. He can have it, saying that I'll get smashed by some fighters or something. Yeah, fuck you, Brandon Schaub. Stay on the sidelines. You quit doing this shit, you little pussy.
It is. See, it's funny, right? Because when I used to fight and I had people like picking against me and stuff, it depends on the person. Like, it was the GSP fight, like, I understood. But there's other times where I really did take it hard. I don't know if it was just the way they said it. But sometimes you take that shit personal, no, Mike Perry?
I guess, yeah. I mean,
it sounds like you did with Brendan.
But then again, you try not to let people get you out of your character or out of your happy place. You know what I mean? You got to stay composed or whatever. But that's why I just sent out a little tweet. I knew nobody was going to know what the fuck I was talking about.
So, I like that.
When Joe Rogan responded, I was going to say, oh, really? This was just for Brandon Schaub. Like, what has he got to say to me that makes it okay for me to punch him in the face?
Oh.
But I know Joe Rogan's a big, like, well, you can't just assault people, okay? You can't just do that to people. Yeah, well, Joe, I'm a fucking animal, okay? I'm a fighter, and I want to fucking bite people's faces off sometimes when they annoy me.
Well, plus, he and Brandon are very close. I mean, Brandon are very close. They're good friends, and they've been kind of, close friends for a decade.
Well, Mike Perry's in the right fucking sport.
Yeah, Mike
I'll
certainly
tell you
is.
Right now.
There's no other sport, man. This is it. This is my life. What I'm here for. So.
Well, I for one would love to see you and Sage Northcutt. I just think you know, I mean, I just think it's just like polar opposites in a sense that, yeah. And not that he's a good guy and you're a bad guy, because I don't think you're a bad guy.
He just said he wants to bite people's faces, and Sage calls you Mr. Sarah. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's fucking great. Oh, that's fucking classic. But I just think that would be just a dynamic fight, man.
Yeah.
Just personality wise, I think I would love. Can we book that fight, please?
Yeah, please, Mike.
Do we have any pull?
It's the biggest street versus what? clean cut, nice guy. Like, I mean,
no.
I mean, I'm not the most street guy in the UFC anymore.
Oh, no?
I don't know if I ever was.
Well, you're also a smart fighter, though, because you listen when you talk. You're not overconfident to the point of not taking what you have to do. Like, you talk about Sage, you're like, yeah, well, he's a good athlete. He's a really good fighter. Like, it's good to have enough respect to the person you're fighting, regardless of the lead up to it. Because you hear some guys, they just talk shit about their opponents. And it's like, I guess you respect them on some level, but you're a smart fighter.
Well, at this level, I think now all my opponents are respectable. Like, I think they've done well enough. They've made it far enough in through the ranks of the UFC. They've had a few fights, and I mean, all my opponents were really good, I think. So Sage would just add to that list. But, you know, let's not get it twisted. I would fucking talk that shit to him. I'd get inside his pretty little head. I'd fucking eat him alive.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the fight, Mr. Perry. He really is a nice guy. Hey, now, are you still looking for Yancy Medeiros, or are you looking to jump up a little higher and fight somebody higher ranked? Who's ranked?
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, the paycheck's going to be the same. So just give me a limp body, and then let me cash my check, and then we'll move on to the next contract, and we'll keep working our way up that ladder. I don't, you know, it never matters to me who it is. They know that, but they do their job as the best matchmakers in the world. And, you know, sometimes fights go a way that you just don't expect, sure. Like the Ngannou and Derek Lewis fight, but they fought. Derek Lewis fought smart. He did what he had to do. I remember, what was I going to say? I remember, my fight with, who was it? Chase Sherman said, if me and Ponzinibbio go the distance, he'll let Francis Ngannou punch him in the face. That shit went the distance.
That's fucking great. Now,
but we put on, though. We were fucking scrapping.
Oh, yeah.
That was a very good fight. That was a much different fight.
How soon do you want to be back in there?
Tomorrow. Let's go.
He wants to get soon. It is good when you're in shape, though. Yeah. You can jump right back in. Well, let me tell you, Mike Perry, a lot of guys out there in this day and age, they got to try to put on an act. They got to try to be something they're not. Don't change a fucking thing, man. The way you're fighting and you're being yourself. You're lucky in a sense you're an interesting fucking guy, dude. And not just because you got tattoos on your face. You're an interesting individual. And it transfers over from your interviews to your fighting. And I can't wait to see what's next. And I hope it's Sage Northcutt.
I do too.
I would get, I'd be there for that one.
Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Hey, whatever the UFC want to do, if the world wants, and they're liking it, man. They thought that tweet, that fake tweet meme was hilarious. So
yeah.
I did too. So I think it would be a lot of fun. You know, Sage Northcutt's a really nice guy. I'd really like to the opportunity to fight against him. And, you know, I'm sure we'll put on a great spectacle for all the fans.
I do agree. And look, I tend to get the fights I want. I was calling for Perry Ponzinibbio long before they booked that fight. Now I want Mike Perry Sage Northcutt, so it's going to happen.
We all want.
You're always fun to talk to, man, and we love watching you fight. So anytime, we'll talk to you again. Okay, buddy?
Appreciate you guys. God bless.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Mike. Take it easy.
Take care, Mike.
He's a good dude. I still want to walk up. I really want to say hello to him because I didn't know if he'd know me by name.
I met him before he came up to me the first time he came up to me, and I seen the guy fight, and that's before I met him in person, and I wasn't sure about him. You know what I mean? But he came up to me so humble, so nice. And ever since then, I really like that guy. First of all, his fighting, he's the guy, some guys have that it factor. He has it, and he's so entertaining to watch fight. He's entertaining on the mic. He's not, and he's being himself.
He's a genuine guy.
I like the word genuine. That's true. That's what he is. And a huge Mike Perry fan. Love watching that dude.
I know.
Fight.
I saw Tyron at the last fight.
Oh, he's such a great guy.
Yeah. Too. Oh, terrific. Let me shake your hand.
Oh, that was
that was nicer than the interaction I had with him.
Hold on, was that Tyron?
Yes.
So what Jimmy just did was did you say hi, Tyron? Nice to meet you. Nice
no,
to see
I've
you.
I've interviewed him in person before. Oh, so you went more than once.
So he gave you
was
the
he
old.
Was he ever in here?
No,
I've had him on my.
So he was looking at his cell phone. He looked up for a second, gave you his hand like a limp handshake, and then looked away and just.
It was literally the unfriendliest interaction I've ever had. But then again, he's still a fighter I love. But he's just
that is so upsetting to me.
That's not upsetting. I wasn't upset.
Really? No, that's upsetting to me.
Yeah,
he kind of blew you off a little bit.
It is what it is. I don't expect a deep friendly moment. I mean, he's there with a fighter. You know, those guys are seeing each other.
He should be happy to see you, though.
He doesn't have to be happy to see you.
I'm not going to change the way I feel about him because he's always nice. He's wonderful. Always super happy to see me.
He doesn't have to change the way. I'm not saying change the way you feel, but just
Jimmy. When I see you, I get really happy.
Well, we're friends.
We are friends. You know.
I respect Tyron.
Chris the Medusa.
Yes, sir.
All right. So listen, what do we got going on? Good to see you too, Chris the Medusa.
I may be a loser, and my pal Colby told me I'm a loser, and I'm go Colby. I'm Team Colby.
Colby's such a fucking idiot.
I'm a loser, and he was right,
Jimmy.
But at least he knew my name.
The fucking guy, the really, really, only really quick. You're not
he
a loser.
He remembered my name.
You're not a fucking loser. But it's so funny. After that thing that happened with me and that fucking drunk out there, and it went fucking viral. All of a sudden, there was like a response from Colby saying, oh, he didn't get, you know, he's about me. I'm like, wait a minute. The fuck? What are you responding to?
He probably heard UFC Unfiltered where you've said a couple things.
No, he probably heard that shit went viral and then he wants to try to.
Well, yeah.
So he's trying to make him a headline off of something that happened with me. Meanwhile, he's making like, I'm trying to talk about him. And I just think the guy's a fucking moron. And he go, and one of, I saw an interview, I heard something, but then I just turn it off because it's all just fucking blabber. But part of it's like, oh, he wanted my attention. Now he's got it. Dude, what the fuck does that mean? What, I got your attention? What are you going to do about it, you fucking herb? Nothing. So shut the fuck up. Anyway, listen.
Now,
what else
I'm always on Matt Serra's side.
Yeah.
You're my man, bro.
However, if those two fight.
Who?
Colby and Matt? Yeah.
No, and Tyron.
What are you saying?
Well.
What are you saying?
And new.
Wait, wow.
Not Colby.
Wait,
and Matt.
Colby and Tyron, you're saying?
Yeah.
You're trying. Oh.
I'd be Team Colby.
Why are you Team Colby? Oh, because Tyron gave you the old limp.
The old hi hat.
he gave me the old hi hat. He was at the cool kids' table, and you're like, can I sit here? And he goes, oh, that's for.
I didn't want to sit here. I was just saying hello because he hit the
Well, he was in the
right
row.
Oh, yeah, you
in the
saw
row.
How
yeah, I was,
he was
right there, yeah.
Oh, you
were you there for that awful?
Oh, yeah. I seen you guys over there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, you were sitting next to Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse is very nice to you when he said hi.
He said hello. We didn't do shit.
All right.
He said hi. That's all I wanted.
It's weird. Like,
Henry Cejudo fan
it's,
here. Yeah.
It's funny. Like, you want to see, that's what I love about the UFC when I go there because I get such. I'm not comparative, but I get such a nice reception because I see these guys I haven't seen. Like, I saw fucking Kendall Grove. You know Kendall Grove?
I do not.
Big, tall Hawaiian. He won the Ultimate Fighter 2-3. He won the Ultimate Fighter 3.
Yeah, he was on Tito's
Spoiler
team
alert.
Or whatever.
He's
yeah.
a great fucking. He's a great guy. I just like seeing everybody.
Well,
it's like,
different.
It's like coming home.
You're a legend. I mean,
thank you.
Honest,
don't throw that word around.
Well,
I saw News 12 yesterday. All right, listen to me. Hey, I had a good time today.
Well, do you guys want to do picks for this weekend? Or
I do. Yeah.
What's today?
Today's,
oh shit! Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Hi, Jimmy. Let's do picks. Let's do picks. Let's do picks.
I'm picking.
Oh, I was about to go into a song, but I fuck it.
I don't know much about, how do you say his name? Hasbret?
Nazrat Hakparast.
Hakparast.
Tight.
Yeah.
Why do you always like that joke?
It's terrible every time, and it makes me laugh. It's terrible. And yet it makes me laugh.
It's a fucking whatever his name.
How does Nazrat done in his last couple of fights?
So he's 8-1 overall. He has one UFC fight, which he lost a unanimous decision to Marcin Held in his last fight.
Okay.
He lost a what? This what?
He lost a unanimous decision to Marcin Held.
Marcin Held's a stud.
Yes, correct.
And what's his record?
He's 8-1.
Oh, so he just lost to Marcin.
Yeah.
And before, so and now this is his second.
Or excuse me, he's 8-2. I apologize, but the other loss was earlier on. It was his first fight. So
and he's fighting
Mark Takei.
Takei's pretty dynamic.
He is. He's on a 2-fight losing streak, though, unfortunately for him. He has a split decision loss to Jakar Close, who we know is very tough. He just fought Lando Venata, and he has a submission loss to Dan Hooker, who's also on a great run right now.
Yes,
so
he is.
He's lost to two, you know, tough guys.
I think it's his time to break that losing streak, and I'm going to say Takei by decision.
All right. Cool.
I'm going to go with Takei, second round TKO.
All right, and I'm taking Takei by third round knockout. What did you say, Jim? Second round?
Second round TKO. And can you put these guys up on the thing?
Yeah, that would help. I'm sorry. Sorry to yell.
No, you're not wrong.
All right. Thank you. There, see? You think that guy
would for the next fight.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so this isn't updated, but it's Danny Roberts versus David Zawada.
Joban's out. Okay.
Yeah, Joban's out.
So what do you want from me, huh?
Anyway.
Zawada?
Yeah.
Well, Zawada's making he's 16-3. He's making his UFC debut.
Yep.
Now, that can work for you or against you. Some guys come in, especially on short notice.
What's his record?
16-3.
Okay. Well, Danny Roberts.
Yeah, what's Roberts' record? 14-3-0. Sorry.
I want to say. Sorry. You didn't say that. What is it? Danny Roberts' record.
Yeah, he just said it's 14-3-0.
Hold on, motherfuckers.
Okay.
The UFC record. Don't you know I'm one of the...
Well, I gave you the other
guy's total. What's his UFC record?
He is...
Danny Roberts. I don't care about his record in fucking King of Lemons. I don't care about these shitty events that you're fighting guys that are not UFC caliber.
Tomato cans!
First the hi-hat.
He's 4-2 in the UFC. He's got 6 UFC fights. And he's coming off of a knockout win of Oliver Enkamp, who's an up-and-coming prospect. And that was a very nice finish in his last fight.
I say Danny Roberts, second round TKO.
All right.
I say Danny Roberts, first round knockout. Ooh. And it's because it's Zawada's first UFC fight. He may have a little bit of jitters. And again, that can work for you or against you. They're very hard to pick when a guy comes in for the first time. Because you look at how amazing Gaethje looked his first time in. I mean...
Yeah, Gaethje has no... fear at all. No. Yeah. I'm actually going to go the opposite way. I'm going to take David Zawada second round knockout.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mr. I like to be different.
Yeah.
Put up Marcin Tybura.
Yeah, versus Stefan
Struve. Now, Marcin, this is the Marcin that fought, he fought Verdum for 5 rounds, correct?
That is absolutely that is him. Correct.
What was his last fight?
His last fight was a knockout to Derek Lewis. It was a third round knockout. I felt winning that fight up until that point. I mean, Lewis obviously has unbelievable power. So he's on a 2-fight losing streak, but he went 5 rounds against Verdum, and then he got knocked out by Derek Lewis, which can happen to anybody.
I know what I'm taking.
All right.
Tybura by decision.
Yep. Matt?
Tybura by submission! The second round.
Okay. I was thinking about taking him by submission myself, but I actually do have him by decision. But I think that could be a likely outcome.
Copying
of
me.
I know. Yeah, hey, listen, you're the I don't know what to say. The pick master.
Well, you know what? I will say this. Those long arms, I mean, that may help with a submission. I understand why Matt's taking that.
Yep.
Ooh, and I see that Vitor Miranda is fighting a shadow.
He's fighting Abu Azatar, who's making his UFC debut. He is 13-2-1, and these are two, you know, high level strikers. They both competed.
I wonder
in K-1
if Abu Azatar plays video games and what's his avatar? I wonder if Abu Azatar plays video games and has a cool avatar. All right, so who are you picking in this fucking thing?
Hold on, let me recover from that.
Jimmy, they're not all going to be out of the park, Mr. Comedian.
I know, but
some of them
will
not be even be that.
Yeah, that wasn't.
It has to be out of the park, but that literally you fouled one off my shin.
Guys, I'm sorry, guys. Guys, listen to me. I'm sorry. All right, but listen.
What, Miranda's last fight?
Please.
His last fight was
against... What's his record? Please.
UFC record.
His UFC record.
Before UFC record. What's his amateur record?
Why are you doing that? Jimmy's fucking...
He's 3-0 as an amateur. His UFC record
13-6, I'm guessing.
He's 3-2 in the... 3-3 in the UFC.
But he's 13-6 overall.
We're talking about Vitor
right
now?
He's 12-6 overall, Vitor Miranda.
I'm going...
What is he in the UFC?
3-3.
He's 13-6.
13-6, okay.
And tell me about Abu.
It's
It's what I get when I walk on stage. I know. Terrible.
Abu Azatar is 13-2-1.
Now, again.
Wait, hold on.
UFC debut.
No. Oh, it's his debut.
Yes. Yeah, this is UFC debut. Yeah, I can't. What do you want me to do?
I am going to take Abu Azatar because I took against the other guy. There's really sometimes you just don't know.
Yeah.
It's his first one. I'm going. How did Miranda's last fight go? I apologize. And how was he lost?
His last two, he's lost two straight to Chris Camozzi and Marvin Vettori, both unanimous decisions. Prior to that, he had three straight knockout wins.
And Abizatar, how has he won his last couple of fights?
Two straight unanimous decision wins. This is in World Series of Fighting, as two straight unanimous decision wins. And then he has a knockout outside of there at the absolute.
I'm going to give him a second round knockout.
Is he's taking this on short notice?
Yeah, relatively short, I think. Yeah, but he's had a couple of weeks, I think, to know that this was coming. Yeah, he didn't like take it yesterday, but
Vitor Miranda by decision.
Miranda by decision.
Yeah, I said it.
Yes, all right. Absolutely.
And I'm going to take Abu Azatar by first round knockout. Mm, okay. But this should be a really fun fight. Both of these guys are.
Well, not if you're right. It won't be fun for the other guy.
No, it won't be. But
fun for us.
We'll be entertained. Yeah.
Well, it is going to be a fun fight. The next one, the co-main.
Yeah. Corey Anderson is filling in for Ilir Latifi, who had to pull out. He got injured, but that was July 5th, so he's known about it for a little
now,
bit.
Now, okay.
Yeah.
Wait. Replaced on July 5th. What do you mean you know about it for a little bit? That's fucking a couple weeks.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's three weeks.
Yeah, that's nothing to get ready for a fucking cage fight. Look at this guy.
I know, over there, Mr. I'm always in shape. You gotta fight.
To fight in fucking Germany. Wait, where are they fighting?
Yeah, they're in Hamburg, Germany.
They're fighting in Hamburg, Germany.
Well, maybe he was ready.
So Corey Anderson's taking this one right off the couch?
These guys are if you want to put it that way, sure, yeah.
Here's what I'm taking. Not that Glover is not great. How old is Glover? And how old is Corey? Please.
Glover is 38 and Corey Anderson is 28.
Oh boy. So I'm going to take Corey Anderson
in
a first round knockout.
Wow. All right.
All right. I'll match you with that. Okay. I'll take Glover to Teixeira.
Teixeira.
Don't worry.
I'm helping you.
You're not helping me.
I want you to say
you're belittling.
I'm not belittling you.
I couldn't even say it.
I'm not belittling you. It's Glover Teixeira. You're saying
Glover. I'm taking Glover.
Glover Teixeira.
I'm taking him by first round.
Oh, KO. Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking...
He was getting ready for... I wasn't done.
Oh, please.
He was getting ready for Latifi.
He was.
He was getting ready...
Who was?
...for Latifi.
Who was?
Glover.
Right.
Latifi's no fucking joke, Jimmy.
No, he's not.
Are you, Chris the producer, you saying he's a joke?
I couldn't be saying less of
him. He's a fucking stud, and that's who Glover's getting ready for. And now he takes Corey Anderson and goes, oh, all right, I'll go to Germany and have a fight.
That's right.
Really? Have you been training? Have you, Corey?
He
probably
has.
He's pretty
disciplined. In good shape.
And he hangs out with Mark Henry, so the guy's probably in shape. But I know Glover. I hung out with Glover before. I can't help but go for Glover.
I respect Glover a lot. I'm not going to be sad if he wins. I like Glover a lot. I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
Maybe you'll be sad, though, because you're picking the other guy.
I am. It's going to happen.
Are you sure you're telling the truth?
Oh, now.
Yeah, I'm going to take Glover by second round knockout, although I do think that Corey Anderson's wrestling is going to be the kind of X factor here, but if he's got to get in on Glover, he can be hit there, and he's got a tremendous power. So I'm going with Glover Chair, second round.
Main event.
Knockout.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Shogun Hua against... Anthony Smith.
But listen, I liked Anthony before the phone call. I like him even more now.
I not just too.
Because he congratulated me on the whole Hall of Fame.
That's
thing,
true. He did.
Respectful.
And I just want to. Oh, no, Jimmy, that's been. It's a couple weeks already.
Doesn't matter. It never gets.
Let it go.
No.
I should change my Instagram account and put on Hall of Fame right there.
You should.
I should.
I'm putting it on mine.
What,
UFC friend, Hall of Famer?
No, UFC. You should say UFC friend of the Hall of Famer.
No, I'm gonna put UFC Hall of Famer.
Why don't you say friend? Because now what? Then you're lying.
Nah, nobody will know.
All right, now listen. I'm taking Anthony Smith in this fight.
Yeah,
I am. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be a hard fight. I think it's gonna be a hard fought fight. But I feel that Shogun's got the experience to last. I think this is gonna be a battle, man. And although I want to see a finish because that's always dynamic, I think this is gonna be a battle. Of two well-rounded guys and a little changing of the guard, and I feel that Anthony Smith's going to get a decision. in a fucking in fight of the night.
Which it sounds like he's kind of looking for. Like, I mean, obviously he'd take a finish, but it sounds like he really wants to be tested.
And what he talked about with his jiu-jitsu and his wrestling, and he's more well-rounded than you think. And this fight might... Sometimes you need that guy to test you in all areas. Yep. And this... What did I take what you were going to say?
Guys are wrong.
Holy
Third
fuck.
Round knockout Anthony Smith. How many times do I have to say?
Well, you're saying it once. You're saying it once.
Yes, that's all.
All right. I want to get a turkey and a veggie burger with no bread.
You don't want my
pick? A little cheese melted on top, but no bread. I'm losing the weight because I'm not eating the bread.
Do you not want my pick, Matt?
I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was going to say second round sweetie. Knockout for Lionheart Anthony Smith.
Okay. All right.
No disrespect to Shogun, but I think this guy's a real problem at light heavyweight.
I do think he's a problem. And, I wouldn't be disappointed with any of those. Not that I have something against Shogun, but I like this Anthony Smith because he likes me. That's not the reason. I like them anyway. The guy's a stud. And man, we have a good job, Jimmy. We get to talk about the fights we love
and talk to people we like, even if they ignore us completely when we see them in person.
You're gonna be 50 years old. How do you feel, Jimmy? You look great. You shouldn't be, Jimmy. The second I said that, you just got sad eyes.
How do I feel,
Jimmy? Okay? Yeah. You're a successful comedian. You're on Netflix all over the world. Fuck, Jimmy. If you wanted to go on a date, you know what you should say? You know what I would say if I was single?
Yeah. How much?
Go, hi, YouTube me. Hi. No, I'm looking. I wouldn't do that. I'm married. But you, Jimmy, you got the world by the balls, which you like.
get the girl by the balls.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's meaningless. Being a comic is meaningless.
What a fun show.
When my wife met you, she said she would have guessed you were 38.
Well, she's a polite, nice person.
No, but she would just say nothing.
Molly's a nice lady.
Yeah. You notice that she said that she didn't guess that I was younger.
No, she didn't. Well, you don't have kids too, so you're like an established gentleman.
I look strong today.
Yes, they said that to Chris before you came in.
Thank you. All right. Sure. Wait, before I came in?
Yeah, yeah.
That I looked strong?
I said I have a sense that Matt's going to look strong.
Well, now I know you bullshitted me. The compliment means nothing.
No, it means a lot.
Do you want to plug anything?
Not.
Do you want to plug anything that you'll be doing, like a gig or something?
I have.
Not like an anal plug.
No, I don't use anal plugs. They're called fingers. Take your ring off, madam. Daddy has a request. Oh. I'm going to... I would say I'm going to be in Montreal this coming week. I have the 25th and 28th of July. I'm doing gigs up there. And Sam Roberts and I are broadcasting 2 days. I am 50, so come out and see me.
Did you ever, like, shit out, like, a Lee press-on nail or anything?
Yes, and sneezed. Same color, same hand.
Oh, fuck, that's disgusting.
Yep.
Jimmy, I got nothing to really plug, Jimmy, except for my love and my passion for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and the martial arts. Jimmy, can I just tell you really quick in closing that if I was a master in any other discipline, name a striking art. Name one striking art.
Boxing.
Okay. Now let's say if I just...
Judo.
Judo's not as... Jimmy? Jimmy, you know where I'm going with this. Learn some Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, people. Sure. Take martial arts. It'll change you as a person. If everybody knew Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if everybody knew how to fight,
UFC wouldn't be really popular because everybody would know how to do it.
All right, guys, listen to me. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.